Thanks for tuning into the ES First podcast. We'd love to connect with you on Facebook, Instagram, or Twitter. So take a minute to hop on over and give us a like or a follow. And of course, if you're ever in Excelsior Springs, stop on by. We can't wait to welcome you home.
We'll talk today about the Sabbath. Hard subject, somebody said. Got a lot of interesting things about the Sabbath. And I believe the study of the Sabbath is probably one of the most valuable studies that you'll ever find in the Scripture. Exodus chapter 20 and verse number 8 says, "Remember the Sabbath day," say Sabbath day, "to keep it holy. 6 days shalt thou labor and do all thy work, but the seventh day is the Sabbath of the Lord thy God. In it thou shalt not do any honeydews, or do any work, thou, nor thy son, nor thy daughter, thy manservant, thy maidservants, nor thy cattle, nor the stranger that is within the gate. For in 6 days the Lord made heaven and earth, the sea, and all that in them is, and rested the seventh day. Wherefore the Lord blessed the Sabbath day, and he hallowed it." Isn't that wonderful? All right, how many of you plan on mowing your grass today? Of course not, it's raining. Here we go. The Old Testament talks a lot about a day of rest, about the Sabbath day. A whole bunch of times, especially in Genesis, it talks a lot about it. And most religions will talk to you about the Sabbath day. The Seventh-day Adventists say this: "In this age of materialism, the Sabbath points men and women to the spiritual and to the personal. The consequences for forgetting the Sabbath day, according to the Seventh-day Adventists, to keep it holy, are serious. It will lead to the distortion and eventual destruction of a person's relationship with God." The Catholic Church says it this way: "The Sabbath brings everyday work to a halt. It is a day of protest against the servitude of work and the worship of money. On Sundays and other holy days of obligation, the faithful are bound to participate in Mass." The Mormons say it this way: "When men and women are willing to work on the Sabbath to increase their wealth," the Mormons say, "they're breaking the commandments. For money taken in on the Sabbath, if the work is unnecessary, is unclean money." Sabbath breakers, too, are those who buy commodities at Walmart or entertainment at the Chiefs game on the Sabbath, thus encouraging — this is the Mormons, I added a couple words in there, you figure that out — "thus encouraging pleasure places and business establishments to remain open, which they otherwise would not do. If we buy, sell, trade, or support such on the Lord's day, we're rebellious as the children of Israel." How many got your toes stepped on yet? The Jewish rabbis concluded that work prohibited on the Sabbath is the same as the work of creating the sanctuary. They found 39 categories of forbidden acts, all of which are types of work that were needed to build the sanctuary. Eliminate — these are the jobs that were prohibited: kneading bread, baking — chicken would like that — searing wool, shearing wool, weaving — you can't make two loops. I didn't say get looped. Making two loops. No weaving of two threads. No separating two threads. No tying. No untying. Wear flip-flops. Sewing two stitches is prohibited. Tearing. Writing two little letters. Erasing two letters. Prohibited. Extinguishing a fire. Prohibited. Kindling a fire. Prohibited. Hitting with a hammer. We're talking about the Sabbath today. Did you know all this about the Sabbath? I mean, write all this down so you don't screw it up. Okay? That's just to name a few. Remember the Sabbath day, keep it holy. Serious stuff. So what does God have to say about it? Well, in Exodus, it even gets worse. Exodus 31 says, whoever does any work on the Sabbath shall surely be put to death. Exodus chapter 15, the children of Israel got a heads-up experience on no work on the Sabbath. They got up in the morning, went out to gather manna, and guess what? There wasn't any. In Exodus 16, the children of Israel got a heads-up. Numbers chapter 15, they caught a man gathering sticks on the Sabbath. And the Lord said to Moses, all the congregation shall stone him to death. Sabbath's pretty important, wouldn't you say? Jeremiah 17, 27. But if you will not hearken unto me to hallow the Sabbath day and not to bear a burden, even entering into the gates of Jerusalem on the Sabbath day, then I will kindle a fire in the gates thereof, and it will devour all of the palaces of Jerusalem, and it shall not be able to be quenched. I would say the Sabbath is a pretty important day, wouldn't you? All right, well, wait a minute. Things are about to change. Do I see a ghost? Is that a ghost? Somebody is walking on the water. I can just observe, hear the observers as they say to Jesus as he comes closer, how do you do that? You shouldn't be able to do that. And Jesus responds, well, guess what? I got a news for you. I am the Lord of all. I created this water. I own this water. I am the Lord of this water. This is a piece of cake walking on the water. He said, I could imagine what you see is what you've got. I'm the Lord of the water. He said, I turn all nature upside down. The winds and the waves, I speak and they obey me. In fact, Jesus would say, I turn everything upside down. If I require it, those rocks will cry out and praise me. And if you stick around a little bit, I'll show you something else. Even the demons tremble at my very presence. I am the Lord. There's nothing too hard for me, spoken like this. Is there anything too hard for me? Question mark. Is there anything too hard for Jesus? And then I could imagine that he would go on a little bit further and he would say something like this. So you think that's difficult? The rocks crying out and me walking on the water and demons tremble. If you think that's difficult and hard to swallow, I'm going to tell you something that's way more difficult than all of that. You know how difficult the rules and regulations for the Sabbath are? Jesus would say, they're difficult. The results are permanent. Well, I have news for you. I'm the Lord of the Sabbath as well. You can thank God for this. And he said, I've come to upset everything. I've come to turn everything upside down. And so, ladies and gentlemen, he might well say, everything you've ever learned about the Sabbath is going to take on a brand new look. And everything Pastor just read from all those religious entities, don't listen to it. Everything you've ever heard about the Sabbath is going to take on a brand new sound. And everything you ever observed concerning the Sabbath, I'm going to turn it into true, honest, goodness, rest. It will be a breath of fresh air. to as many as can receive this. And I've come to open up your eyes to whatever the Sabbath contains, what it really means. Jesus would say, because I am the Lord of the Sabbath. I have come, Jesus says, to turn that flip side. I've come to let you know that keeping the Sabbath, observing the Sabbath, understanding the Sabbath is a breath of fresh air. And when you work out your own salvation with fear and trembling, I'm not talking about cowering down somewhere afraid that God is going to cut you off at the knees. When I ask you to serve me with fear and trembling, I mean reverence me, worship me, honor me with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind. Work it out with a feeling on the inside of love and peace and excitement, entering boldly into the presence of Almighty God, not cowering down as we might interpret fear and trembling. I've come to open up your eyes, Jesus would say, to whatever the Sabbath contains. And what does the Sabbath really mean? Because I am Lord of the Sabbath, Jesus would say. And there's something that I want you to get that maybe you've never got this before. Everything that I stand for, Jesus would say, everything that I represent, and everything that I am equals the Sabbath. Think about that. And so in Matthew 11, 25 through 30 in King James Version says, Jesus said, I thank you, Father, Lord of heaven and earth, because you have hid these things from the wise and the prudent and hast revealed them unto babes. Even so, Father, for so it seemed good in thy sight. All things are delivered unto me of my Father, and no man knoweth the Son but the Father. No, neither knoweth any man the Father save the Son, and he to whomsoever the Son will reveal him. If you can get a hold of this, if you can get past the law, if you can get past condemnation, Jesus would say, you would really understand when I'm talking about the Sabbath, I'm not talking necessarily about Sunday morning. I'm talking about me. Come unto me, all of you that labor and are heavy laden, I'll give you rest. If you don't come to Jesus, if you don't give your life to him, what's going to happen to you? So we find that the Sabbath has a much deeper meaning than Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, no work. Saturday, Sunday. Has a much deeper meaning than you sitting in this room today. Because as Webster defines, today is the Sabbath. And we're to honor the Sabbath and keep it holy. And Jesus would say, see this walking on the water? Let me give you one that's more difficult to believe than that. I'm the Lord of the Sabbath. I created the Sabbath. And if you can receive this, I really am the Sabbath. Forsake not the assembling of yourself together unto me. Come unto me, all you that labor and are heavy laden. I'm the Sabbath. I'll give you rest. Now, I'm not talking about taking all you know about the Sabbath and kicking it out the door. I'm telling you to take this about the Sabbath and understand the true revelation of true life in Jesus Christ. Come unto me, all you that labor and are heavy laden. I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me, and you'll find rest unto your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light. Which brings me to my text for this morning. Mark chapter 2 and verse 23. And I'm going to read this today from the Amplified Version of the Bible. And this is what it says. One Sabbath, he was going along beside the fields of standing grain, and as they made their way, his disciples began to pick off the grains. And the Pharisees, bless their hearts, said to him, "Look, why are they doing what is not permitted or lawful on the Sabbath?" And he said to them, this is a story about David in the Old Testament. Have you never even read what David did when he was in need and was hungry? He and his whole, those who were accompanying him, how he went into the house of God when Abiathar was the high priest, and he ate the sacred loaves set forth before God, which is not permitted or lawful for any but the priest to eat, and how he also gave them to those who were with him. And then he gave this in-depth statement, and he said to them, the Sabbath was made on account, and the Sabbath was made for man, not man for the Sabbath. I looked at myself in the mirror this morning, said, I'm going to work anyway. Even though it is the Sabbath. And then I remembered my message that said, Jesus said, that's not really what it means. The Sabbath is made for you, not you made just to honor the Sabbath, to make God feel good about his control factor. You see, Jesus is the Lord of the Sabbath. In fact, if you want to know the truth revealed in the inner understanding of this scripture, you can take this to the bank. Jesus really is the Sabbath. Sabbath, as usual, takes on a brand new look when Jesus shows up. When Jesus stepped up to the plate to come to this earth and to make all things new, when he was willing to go to the cross, the Sabbath came alive. Condemnation stepped aside. There is therefore now no condemnation to those who are in Christ Jesus, who walk not after the flesh but after the Spirit. Can you say amen to that? Condemnation stepped aside when Jesus came. Grace, love, and mercy rewrote the story of life, and it rewrote the story even of the Sabbath. So today we're to focus on the Sabbath with a greater understanding than ever before. And Hebrews says it like this, looking unto Jesus, the author and the finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is set down at the right hand of the throne of God, there ever making intercession for the saints. But what was the joy that was set before him? Well, there's a whole lot of joy that was set before him if he was willing to go to the cross. But one of the greatest joys, I think, that ever touched the heart of Jesus when he became the man that he was, one of the greatest things that ever touched his heart was to flip-flop our relationship with the Sabbath. If you're busy about having a condemnation type of lifestyle, you're not going to like this. Hello. But if you're truly in love with Jesus and you know who he is and how he works and what he does and how he changes your life, if you really want to know the truth, you become a walking Sabbath all in yourself. The joy that was set before him at the cross was that he could flip-flop the Sabbath. No longer, Jesus said these words, man for the Sabbath. Now, the Sabbath for man. The Sabbath is not a prison sentence. It's a freedom pact. I like what Paul the Apostle said. You want to get this, because you don't throw out everything you know about the Sabbath. This brings revelation and truer deep meaning to the Sabbath. Paul the Apostle said, God had given him great grace. Forgive me of everything. I used to kill people. You know my past. Grace, greater than our sins. And Paul the Apostle went on to say, so much the more do I serve the Lord because of his grace. I don't righteously go out and sin. I don't righteously go out and do that which is wrong because I'm under grace. So much the more do I labor for the kingdom. Which brings us, and I'll talk about that in a few minutes, about the Sabbath day, keeping it holy. And when you get a grip on serving the Lord with all your heart, soul, might, and strength, attending the house of the Lord is just part of it. It's not all of it. It's just a very small part of our relationship. Before this, the observation of the Sabbath was a mandatory ritual. But now even the Sabbath is refreshing experience. David said it this way, I was glad when they said to me, let's go to the house of the Lord. And now the Sabbath is a refreshing experience subject to Jesus' lordship. You see, if you don't have the lordship of Jesus in your life, going to church on Sunday, hello, don't make you holy. That's what he meant when he said, not everybody that says, Lord, Lord, is going to make it into the heaven. Even the Sabbath is refreshing. David said, I was glad when they said unto me. It's hard to sleep on Saturday night when you know you're getting ready to go to the house of the Lord. It's not a drudge. It's something that just draws you, and it's awesome. If you have a relationship with the true Sabbath, which is Jesus. But if you don't, you're going to care less. Does it make any difference? You'll have the opinion like a lot of people have. Those people are just nuts. They're fanatics. We're not fanatics. We're just in love with Jesus. And our Sabbath is Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, Saturday, Sunday. Hello. And because of Jesus, even the Sabbath has been set free to become the greatest celebration of God's mercy, grace, and love to all who choose to participate in Jesus. He flip-flopped the Sabbath to becoming an experience of great exuberance and excitement. And once you get on board with that, there ain't nothing like being in the house of the Lord. And there ain't nothing worse than missing that service. Can you say amen? Because of Jesus, even the Sabbath rejoices because it was set free to become the greatest celebration of all. I remember holding revival services in a little old podunk church up way up in northern Iowa, and I won't tell what the name of the church was, but I'll tell you one thing. The pastor's mother ran the church. And she had a rule, you don't play baseball on Sunday. And I'm the evangelist at this church, right? And I'm going, you don't play baseball on Sunday? What's this? Well, yeah. Jesus will smite thee. Are you kidding? What about fishing? Can we go fishing? I had an argument with this woman. No, you kid, don't dare go fishing on Sunday. It's the Lord's day. Really? Yeah. I went on and on and on and on and on and with that nonsense with her. Well, it was around Christmas time. I said, what about Christmas trees? She said, absolutely not. You never, ever have a Christmas tree. Do you know how many people that old witch ran away from the house of the Lord? You know, there's churches all around that would tell you that if you don't dare wear lipstick, you know, women can't cut their hair. You know, the Bible says that there's no braiding of the hair and there's no jewelry and women can't cut their hair and men have to, you know what I'm talking, do you know about that scripture? But if you go right on down here to the knee level, it says, but we have no such custom in the church. That's what the Bible says. Then why are some churches making a big custom out of it? Why is some ignoramus saying if you go buy something at Walmart on Sunday, you're going to hell? It's a misinterpretation of what the Sabbath really is all about. So I went to her house and we had a Christmas dinner and I said, what's that? She said, I said, it looks like a Christmas tree to me. It's got lights on it. She said, nope. It's a Philadelphian. Did I say it right? Philadelphian. What is that plant? Philodendron. That's the holy plant. It's a Christmas tree. Now, what side of the pancake are you on? Are you a critical finger pointer? You know what God said? Man, he laid the hammer right down and he said it this way. He said, if you put away the pointing of the finger, if you put away the pointing of the finger, not up, but you know what I'm talking about? If you put away the pointing of the finger, you'll find me. And nothing breaks my heart any more than people condemning everybody and sending everybody to hell just because they don't do just exactly the rules and regulations that you were born and raised in and you thought that, you know what I'm saying? And I have to tell you this. It's just like Allison talks about giving. Tell you what, when you get Jesus in your heart, when you get Jesus as your Sabbath, when you get to Jesus to where that's where you come and worship and you have nothing but a relationship with him that is beyond anything else, beyond any measure. I'm going to tell you something. You won't stop at 10%. You won't stop at 20%. You won't stop at 30%. You'll give him all that you've got. Hello, church. So are you talking about money? No, I'm talking about the Bible says where your treasure is. That'll give you an understanding of what's really in the heart that is deceitful and desperately wicked, and who can know it. But if you're smart enough to examine where your treasure is in relationship to God, you'll understand and begin to see yourself on the inside as God sees you. You haven't figured out yet what the true Sabbath really is. Woo! All that God totally wanted the Sabbath to be from the very beginning, a holy convocation, a holy rest, a connection with God, a celebration in and of itself. When Jesus died on the cross, not man made for the Sabbath, as Jesus said, but rather the Sabbath made on account and for the sake of man. More than just bend, bow, perform, goes deeper than that. Goes to a lifestyle that is committed 100% The Sabbath is not just an appointment, it's an adventure. Experiment firsthand, entering into the rest that God has and always planned and for our benefit, not for our condemnation. Did you know that Satan would rather condemn you than anything else on planet Earth? He would rather keep you down. He would rather make you feel guilty because you haven't. He would rather push you down, push your face in the mud. Why? Because that way, if you feel like as Ryan always says, you can sit on a piece of paper and swing your feet. Or was that me that said that, Ryan? I don't remember. That's condemnation. Can you imagine how that breaks the heart of Jesus to have his children condemned all the time? God's blessing to his children as it always had been deemed from the very beginning. Jesus is the Lord of the Sabbath. Jesus put it this way: I'm come that you might have life and have it more abundantly. Jesus said, cast all your care on me, for I care for you. I'm the Lord of Sunday, Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, Saturday, and next Sunday. You don't have to wait. Jesus said, come boldly before the throne of grace that you might receive help in the time of trouble. I am the Lord of the rest. That's more than just the 1st, 8th, 15th, and 22nd of the month. And Jesus said, there's no weapon that's formed against you shall prosper. Not today, not tomorrow, not the next day, not ever. I am the Lord of the Sabbath 24/7. That's me. Every day, make it a Sabbath. Every moment is a Sabbath. Every breath in me is a Sabbath. Every step, every word, every thought, every action is a Sabbath. Abide in me. Make a joyful noise unto the Lord, all you saints. You know what I was thinking about? I hired a guy one time as I was in the construction business, and when I got all done, at the end of the day, I was tired. I was just tired of slinging cement. I was just tired of buckets of mud. I was just tired of sheetrock dust. I was tired of sawdust. I was just tired at the end of the day. And so I hired somebody to clean it up. And when I put the last stroke of mud on there, his job was to clean everything up and put it in the truck. That's all they had to do. His name was Rex. And Rex had a way of getting under my skin. I don't know how he did it. I could never do it. But he could squat and smoke all at the same time. Smoke when I'm spreading mud. Smoke when I'm hanging sheetrock. Smoke when I'm cutting tubifores. But don't smoke when it's time for you to load the stinking truck. That's what you're hired for. And Jesus says this: you having a heart full of the Spirit of God and on fire for God, turned on to Jesus, recognizing that Jesus is your Sabbath and it's 24/7. I'm in the presence of the Lord and I'm rejoicing and I'm singing and I'm making a joyful noise unto the Lord. I want to tell you this, Christian, be more obvious than Rex smoking cigarettes, because that's pretty obvious. Let your light so shine that others will see your good works and glorify your Father which is in heaven. Because you come to the realization that it's more than just Sunday go to meeting. It's every day is sweeter than the day before. Hello, church. Remember the Sabbath. Keep it holy. And if you don't keep the Sabbath, you're going to die. Well, you know what? That's true. Because if you ignore Jesus and you ignore his salvation, and you know, ignore the reason why, if you ignore this Sabbath, remember this, today is the day of salvation. Give your life 100% to him. Because, yeah, there's a fire thing going on these days. Unquenchable, like the fires of Jerusalem, if you enter Jerusalem on the Sabbath. Help me out back there, brother. Make everything your Sabbath. Walk in the Spirit. and you won't fulfill the lust of the flesh. Whatsoever things are good and lovely, think on these things. That's how you honor the Sabbath. What's your thought life? Did you know that your thought life can kill you? The Bible says that in the last days, men's hearts will be failing them for fear, for looking after those things which are coming on the earth. Bring every thought unto the captivity of Jesus Christ. Don't be a naysayer around me, because I'm not buying it. Is this okay? Somebody, where's Nancy Jo? Honey, say amen. Every day is holy. Everything is sacred. Labor to enter into that rest that I prepared for you. I'm the Lord of the Sabbath. Is there a special day? Of course there is. It's called the Lord's Day. It's called Sunday. It's called the first day of the week. It's also called the Sabbath. And we're to keep that holy. The proper perspective. And I promise you, if you walk with the Sabbath and let him talk with you, speak with you, and lead you and guide you, you ain't going to have no problems when it comes to having a relationship with God. So this is the reality. Webster says the Sabbath is a day of the week that's regularly observed as a day of rest and worship. But really, it goes farther than that. Jesus is our Sabbath, 24 hours a day, 365 days a year. Resting in Jesus will cause you to say, like David said, I was glad when they said unto me, it's feeding time. Can you hear the Spirit today? The Spirit and the bride says, come. All you are thirsty. All who are hungry. All who are labor and are heavy laden. Come unto me. I'll give you rest. I put a song up there that touched my heart when I was writing this sermon. It goes like this. Take the name of Jesus with you. Child of sorrow and of woe, it'll joy and comfort give you. Take it with you wherever you go. Precious name, oh how sweet. Hope of earth and joy of heaven. Precious name, oh how sweet. Hope of earth and joy of heaven. Would you bow your heads with me? Yeah, God, we get it. You laid one on us today, Lord. We buy it. We take it. We're refreshed in your presence. And in your presence, there's fullness of joy. We take it with us everywhere we go. While your heads are bowed, every eye's closed, someone here today might say, you know what? I didn't really know how important this walk with Jesus really is till now. But I want to submit my life. I want Jesus to walk with me. I want to walk with him. I want to commit myself to him like never before, ever on this life. Raise up your hand. Say, Lord, walk with me. Forgive me of my sins. Raise it right up there. Forgive me, Lord. I'm ready to hook up like never before. Jesus, as we lift our hands to you, let us draw nigh to you as you draw nigh to us. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.